Well, more names of those who might or should make a run for the presidency are emerging. Among them, independent TD Catherine Connolly, Sinn Féin leader Mary Lou MacDonald, UNICEF's Peter Power. Tomorrow, Fine Gael will open its nomination process. Fianna Fáil has yet to make its intentions clear. To make sense of all of this, political analyst and public affairs consultant Gerard Howlin is here in studio. Good afternoon.
Hello, Carol.
Let's look first at Fine Gael. We have those nominations opening tomorrow morning. Is this going to be a one-horse race, a two-horse race? What's going to happen?
Well, that depends on Sean Kelly. I bet my bottom dollar Mairead McGuinness, the former commissioner and MEP, will be a candidate. And it's an open question whether Sean Kelly, MEP, Ireland South, will put his name forward. And that would be the answer to your question.
OK, the Sunday Times is quoting Sean Kelly today as saying that he's in two minds. He feels that he does have the necessary characteristics, but is considering perhaps the impact of this job on his role as MEP and his family. Would you take anything from that he's perhaps not as enthusiastic as he was?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't sound very full-blooded, and this is could be a very bloody matter. So I think you'd really have a lot of gumption to get in and go on. And if you've any doubts, I suggest you stay out.
And Mairead McGuinness, many of us will have forgotten that this is not her first rodeo, that she ran for the presidency in 2011. Presumably she's had a lot more time to consider it this time and what it involves.
Yes, and maybe was safe from herself then. And she wouldn't have had the very long successful career since if she had had that opportunity then. Some things happen for a reason. That 2011 contest was the bloodiest of presidential bloodbaths. It cost a lot of people reputation, money, and they preferred that never happened. But she is a contender now. She will, I believe, be the Fine Gael nominee, and she's the only certainty I can speak of at this juncture.
And she'd be the earliest out there, so she'd have the longest campaign as well. She has to be planning for what's going to happen from now on.
Indeed, but the parties, I think, also have an interest in a short campaign. Because a shorter campaign favours them a little. The longer campaign gives more time for somebody to come from the outside, and the classic, successful example of that was Mary Robinson.
Let's look at Fianna Fáil and Micheál Martin thus far, anyway, adopting a wait-and-see attitude. Why such caution from the biggest party in the country?
Well, he's not convinced his party should run a candidate. There's also an element where if you don't know what to do, the very best thing to do is do nothing. And I think that's part of what's happening. And it's not an unwise position, by the way. He rightly says that the days when parties can, have a grip on Áras an Uachtaráin are over. Party votes are way down. The platform is worth much less than it used to be electorally. But there's a critical caveat to that, Carol. These are very expensive campaigns. You will not get a state reimbursement for some of your expenses unless you get 12.5% of the vote. Several very high profile candidates with good reputations failed to do that and were not left not only with the misery of their failure, but the misery of their debts.
So tell us, how much is it to run a presidential campaign, roughly?
The most you can spend under law is €750,000. And if you can't put €500,000 down, you're running a race that could be successful, but it would certainly need fizz and vim of a very particular special kind.
And then if you don't reach your quota of votes, you don't get your 200,000 back. So say if you spent five or seven, you could be out €500,000.
You could, or a part or a big chunk of that. And certainly that was a factor for past candidates, I said, who were very reputable, good people.
Now, let's just look at the left and reports again surfacing that the independent TD Catherine Connolly is perhaps seeking support from Independent Ireland and other parties. Frances Black, though, even though she seemed to come out a while ago and say that perhaps she wasn't interested, apparently she was really waiting for someone to approach her. So she still is very much in the game.
Look, it's hard to know about these whispers about whispers, and I take a lot of the coverage of all this with several grains of salt, to be quite honest with you. Some people are talking themselves up with no intention of running. Other people are waiting for an approach that may or may not come. There's a lot of people standing around the edges of the dance hall hoping, but I think there's very few facts, which makes a discussion like this a bit frustrating. But in a lot of this, certainly in regards to Fianna Fáil, what it will do, who it will do it with, similarly for Sinn Féin, Similarly for some group or subgroup of the left, none of this is clear or known, nor do I believe that any of the above said really know themselves exactly what it is they're eventually going to do.
Right, OK. Now, you've often said that you feel that Michael D. Higgins has sort of changed the role of the presidency by weighing in on issues of social justice, Gaza, housing, etc. Do you think that the presidency is evolving? Can it evolve, or does it need to go back to having these strict lines between government and the ORUS?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of strict lines. I think it's a matter of the constitution which the president has sworn to uphold. And Michael D. Higgins has developed the presidency in many very positive ways. He's clearly been a very successful president, a very articulate president in many ways. But there are issues and incidents whereby it is the government of the day, elected by us, the people, but critically, Carol, accountable to us, the people, in a way the president is not, cannot be. That if the president intervenes politically, if the president proactively places Ireland on a particular issue in the world, above and beyond where the government says it is, that usurps the function of the government we elected and is accountable to us. So it's not about the president versus the government. It's about the president versus us, the people, and our inalienable right as citizens to hold our government to account for its actions and policies on our behalf. And furthermore, the president has, in certain very defined circumstances, extraordinary powers. One is to refuse a dissolution of the Dáil to a Taoiseach who has lost his majority. And secondly, to sometimes, perhaps more often, refer a bill to the Supreme Court. And the president exercising those powers must be absolutely believed to be above politics.
So it is a very important job, but yet we have this really nasty campaign that has emerged, I suppose, in recent cycles. It's a bit of a mismatch. Mm. Why do you think that's happening?
Because I suppose the nastiness is really a very modern, very recent feature, but you are absolutely right. I suppose it's a feature of the personality context in an increasingly digital age where boundaries are simply gone. And it becomes a shoving match between people standing at lecterns in studios and their emissaries and surrogates on social media outside.
Okay, Gerard Howland, thank you very much for coming in to discuss that for us today.